Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, January 12th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. We are in verses 16 and 17. 1 John 3. We are in the greatest dissertation in the Word of God on virtue love. It began in 1 John 3, verse 10b, through the rest of chapter 3, all of chapter 4, and chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 3, let's start the corrected translation at verse 15. Anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer. Not overtly, but mental murder. You commit mental murder with the mental attitude sin of hatred. And Jesus Christ is the one who clarified this and made that very clear. Anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer, mental murder. And you have learned doctrine in the past with the result that you know this doctrinal truth now in the present. Namely, that no murderer has the eternal life. And this is the title that John gives to the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 1 of 1 John. This is Jesus Christ. So no murderer has the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Menoing, John's favorite word next to agape, virtue, love, is meno. Abiding in him, that is, he has no spiritual life, no intimate fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and by this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind. That he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us as a substitute for the entire human race when we were at our worst, spiritually dead and totally depraved. And therefore, we, royal family of God, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, our fellow believers, impersonal love for all. Now, in this paragraph in stark contrast with hatred, mental murder of verse 15, stands the true character of virtue love, personal love for God the Father that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, verse 16. Impersonal love for all is so far from the mental attitude of murder that its essence lies in giving one's life for others rather than taking lives. This impersonal love for all was exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the whole world, and he did so when the world was at its worst. With this as our model, Christians should be prepared to make similar sacrifices for their fellow believers. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for impersonal love for all. And we have studied over and over and over again the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all. In fact, all three members of the Godhead, God the Father's impersonal love for all. He is the author of the plan of eternal salvation. God the Father is the author of Operation Grace, the cross. And that was a demonstration of his impersonal love for the whole world, because Operation Grace solves the problem of sin for the entire world. And we saw impersonal love of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God the Father in his impersonal love in Operation Grace sent his eternal Son from heaven. He sent his eternal Son from heaven to earth in the greatest miracle that the world has ever known, that very first Christmas, when the eternal Son of God became true humanity. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God brought that eternal Son of God now became something, the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. And Operation Grace, the Father's plan of eternal salvation, God had to take on true humanity. Deity can't go to a cross. Deity can't die. So the eternal Son of God had to become true humanity. The incarnation and virgin birth. And then he willingly went to a cross. He willingly received the imputation of the sins of the whole world. He willingly received the judgment for those sins. Impersonal love for all. Jesus Christ's impersonal love for the scum of man, humanity. Mankind in his total scum. All you have to do is go back and study Jesus Christ and all that he went through. All the unfair trials, the beatings and beatings and beatings. Spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. He was beaten so much his closest friends could hardly recognize him. They hated him. He hadn't committed one sin. And he went to a cross, and while he was crucified on that cross, and there was the scum of the world down below him, mocking him. And he could have stepped off that cross and he could have killed every one of them and then created a whole new humanity. Now, if I was God, I'd have probably done that, but I'm not God. But he didn't. If he comes off the cross, the world has no hope. The only hope that the world has is that in his impersonal love for the whole world, he willingly stayed on the cross. He willingly received the imputation of our sins. He willingly received the judgment for those sins. And he said, Father, forgive them. What is forgiveness? Very important part of impersonal love for all is forgiveness. Forgiveness for the scum. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He was manifesting impersonal love for the whole world. God the Father's impersonal love for the whole world, designing Operation Grace the Cross. God the Son's impersonal love for the whole world, willingly go to the cross and solving the world problem of sin. God the Holy Spirit's impersonal love for all, His common grace ministry, convicting ministry to anyone, any place, anywhere. When the gospel's given, the Holy Spirit works in his soul and makes it clear, this is the truth. Giving him the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. So this impersonal love for all was exemplified in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the whole world. With this as our model, Christians should be prepared to make similar sacrifices for their fellow believers. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model for impersonal love for all. From impersonal love for the entire human race, Jesus Christ laid down his life for the world to solve mankind's problem of sin, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. And therefore, the willingness to give one's life for any believer is the maximum application of impersonal love for all. Virtue love brought to completion in the heart of the believer, living the spiritual life, produces such motivation. The willingness to die for your fellow believer, even for the totally obnoxious ones, can only be fulfilled when the believer has impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all enables the believer to solve all people problems in life, including the willingness to give one's life for another, making the supreme sacrifice. If you have impersonal love for all, the willingness to give your life for even the totally repugnant believer, then you have the solution for all people problems. And so I gave you a question. Would you be willing to give your life for the most obnoxious or repugnant believer you know? And of course, this question demands an honest answer in the privacy of your own soul. Your answer gives you an understanding of your own spiritual status quo. Spiritually, do you hate the obnoxious believer? Do you have mental murder toward him? Or do you love him with virtue love? Are you in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system? Or are you living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills? Do you have a spiritual life or no spiritual life? Do you have virtue and honor and integrity as the basis of impersonal love for all? Or no virtue, no honor, no integrity? Only maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart can change your arrogant thinking and develop virtue love. Impersonal love for all, including impersonal love for your enemies and those you can't stand. Then verse 17. But if anyone has the world's material possessions, this and material possessions include things like food and clothing, prosperity. Material prosperity can be the result of living the spiritual life. And then the prosperity is from the Lord. However, Material prosperity can also be the result of living in Satan's cosmic system. And then the prosperity is from Satan. Now, prosperity comes to many believers. Some believers will have great prosperity. Some, not all, but some. Prosperity from living in the cosmic system, however, is prosperity with no happiness, prosperity with no virtue, prosperity with no impersonal love for all. Prosperity, however, from living the spiritual life and having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, results in impersonal love for all fellow believers. And this is prosperity with great happiness. Prosperity with great virtue and honor and integrity. This is prosperity with impersonal love for all. So verse 17 starts out, but if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, wealth, and that's where we, as far as we had gone. Now we continue on in verse 17, and seeth his brother have need. That's the thundering diction of the King James. Seeth. Have you? And that was today. I don't know if some of you play Wordle. We play Wordle. The word today was leapt. Now I remember a Western where the cowboy said, "My heart leapt." That's the only time I've ever heard anybody say leapt. My heart leapt in my chest. Well, my heart leapt too. I about broke the iPad. Which tells you I went beyond six. Shit. And I was on a roll. I was getting in three, four times a row, then four, and then five. And seeth, that's bad as leapt, and seeth his brother have need. We have the conjunction chi plus the present active subjunctive of Theo reo, plus the accusative singular of adelphos with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos, plus the present active participle of echo with the accusative singular of crea. Chi is a connective chi. It's correctly translated and. Then we have theo reo. Theo reo. T-H-E-R-E. Theoreo. All right, a couple of things. This verb literally means to be a spectator. To be a spectator. Two, it means to look at, to observe, to perceive, to see. To look at, to observe, to perceive, to see. Three, the active voice, the believer living in the cosmic system, performs the action of the verb. He sees and observes that his fellow believer is destitute. He has material needs. So point three, the active voice, the believer in the cosmic system performs the action of the verb. He sees and observes that his fellow believer is destitute. He has material needs. Point four, however, the believer living in the cosmic system has no virtue. There's no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. Virtue relies in the spiritual life. God has this unique and honorable spiritual life. It's the result of the filling of the Spirit. It's the result of metabolized doctrine in your heart, developing virtue and honor in your soul. So, point four, however, the believer living in the cosmic system has no virtue, has no honor, has no integrity, has no virtue love. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. Five, therefore he has no impersonal love for his fellow believer who is destitute. Therefore he has no impersonal love for his fellow believer who is destitute. And we know we're talking about the believers here because we have Ton, Adelphon, out too. This is the accusative case, Ton, Adelphon. It's the accusative direct object. That's T-O-N-A-D-E-L-P-H-O-N. That's from Adelphos. And Adelphos means brother, but it's a technical term in the New Testament scriptures for the royal family of God, fellow believers. And then we have with that autu, and that's the genitive singular of autos. His fellow believer. Ton Adelphon autu, his fellow believer. And then we have the verb echo. E-C-H long O. Echo. Now echo is a verb that means to have, to hold, to possess. But when you are having or holding, echoing kreia, kreia means you lack something. You're destitute. You have a need. So you combine the two, even though echo means to have and hold possess, in this case, if you're destitute, you don't have very much. Kreia. C-H-R-E-I-A. Kreia. And kreia means need, or that you need something. It means that you lack something. It means you are destitute. So, corrected translation. But, if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, wealth, but he sees that his fellow believer is in need, destitute, in need of something, and shutteth up his compassions from him. This is the conjunction chi plus the aorist active subjunctive of klio plus the accusative plural of splunknon with the definite article plus the genitive singular of autos and the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive of autos. Again, the connective chi is the connective chi and then the verb klio. K-L-E-I long O. Clio. A couple of things. One, Clio literally means to shut or to lock or to bar. To shut, to lock, to bar. Two, it was used for closing and locking a door. It was used for closing and locking a door. Three, figuratively, it is used for closing one's heart. Closing one's heart and locking it against someone. Closing one's heart and locking it against someone. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the total lack of virtue love. The total lack of impersonal love for this fellow believer in need in its entirety. The active voice, the believer living in the cosmic system, performs the action of closing his heart against his fellow believer who is in need. The subjunctive mood goes along with host on to introduce a third-class condition. And then we have splanc non autu. S-P-L-A, two gammas together. This one even pronounced is like an N. C-H-O-N, splanc non. And it's out to his splanc non. All right, what is splanc non? One, literally splanc non is your inward parts, your entrails, your bowels, literally. Inward parts, entrails, bowels. Two, figuratively it's used for the seat of the emotions, for true sensitivity, for thoughtfulness of others, for mercy or grace in action, for compassion. Figuratively, it's used for the seat of the emotions or true sensitivity, thoughtfulness of others, mercy, grace in action, compassion. Three, in our verse, we have the function of the heart of the believer living in the cosmic system. In our verse, we have the function of the heart of the believer living in the cosmic system. There is no virtue love. There is no impersonal love for all. There is no compassion. There is no mercy. No grace in action. No thoughtfulness of others. So in our verse, we have the function of the heart of the believer living in the cosmic system. There is no virtue love, no impersonal love for all, no compassion, no mercy, no grace in action, no thoughtfulness of others. Four, the believer in cosmic death, living his life in Satan's cosmic system, has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The believer living in cosmic death, living his life in Satan's cosmic system, has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. 1 John 2, verse 5. To have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. 5. Therefore, he shuts his heart to a fellow believer in need. He closes the door, locks it. He shuts his heart to a fellow believer in need. Six, instead of impersonal love for his fellow believer, he has the mental attitude sin of hate for his fellow believer. Mental attitude sins for his fellow believer. Oftentimes sins of the tongue toward his fellow believer. Gossip, maligning, judging, slandering. So instead of impersonal love for his fellow believer, he has the mental attitude sin of hate for his fellow believer, or any of many mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Seven. Therefore, he has no compassion for his fellow believer who is in need. Therefore, he has no compassion for his fellow believer who is in need, who is destitute. And this is for the material things, essentials like food and clothing and material needs. Now, we've been here, I've been 47 years. I've been here 47 years. One church. You put up with me for 47 years. That just shows that you're probably brain dead. Or you have a lot of problem-solving devices. 47 years. And for 11 of those years, we lived in the church. And you, as you know, all around us, we have a lot of homeless people live all around us. And if you live here, you get to meet most of them. They knock on the door, and I gave them, every single one of them, I gave the gospel. And they all wanted money. Everybody that comes and knocks on the door, they all wanted money. And I tell them, I said, look, I'm not the treasurer of the church. I don't have nothing to do with the money here. Absolutely nothing to do with the money. If you want, you got to talk to the fellow in charge of that. But I have a little bit in my billfold. I will give you some money. First time I see him, I said, I'll remember your face. Or your smell or something, you know. But I give them money. Every one of them, I gave them money the first time. I said, now look, you can do whatever you want with the money. You'll probably go over there and buy some booze and drink that. I said, that's up to you what you want to do with it. But I said, if you come back again, I won't give you money, but I will give you food. I will give you something to drink, water, whatever we got here. That's iced tea, something. And if you need clothes, I'll give you clothes. But I'm not going to give you money again. I always give them the first time money. Then they come back the next time. Oh, I also give them every time the gospel. I give them the gospel, give them the gospel booklet, tell them to read it and read it and read it, and make sure they understand it. If they believe it, I'll see them in heaven. And I also tell them if they believe it, well, now the grace pipeline is hooked up, and you're going to get grace blessing from God day after day after day. And the next time they come back, and they say, I like money. I said, I've seen you before. I gave you money. I won't give you money. How about you want food? You want something to eat? Food? You need water? Something to drink? Iced tea? You need clothes? No, I don't want food. I want money. I said, well, that's just the opposite. I don't want money. I want food. Different between you and me, see. And I said, well, I'm not going to give you money, but I'd be glad to give you some food. And then they got the idea. And, of course, this was before COVID. And we were having memorial services and weddings. And every time we had these things, we'd have a meet in the side room and have refreshments. People would bring food and punch and all kinds of stuff to eat. And it's really neat how God worked that out. We would have a memorial service or a wedding. All these refreshments, nobody ate them all, so there's things left over. And one of the guys had come, he said, Pastor Olson, I have bread, but I don't have any meat to put in the bread. I said, you know what? God works in strange and mysterious ways. We just had a wedding, and we got all these cold cuts. Here, take as many cold cuts as you want. Oh, thank you, Pastor Olson. And the next time he comes by, he knocks on the door. Pastor Olson, we have meat, but we don't have any bread. I said, guess what? We just had a memorial service, and we had a bunch of bread left over, take all the bread you want. And we gave food and bread, and this went on many. They understood I wasn't going to give them money, but I would give them food. I would give them bread, meat, whatever, food to eat. And in the winter time, when it got cold, and they just sleep on the ground. And they would ask, do you have any warm clothes? We would pull out coats, hats, sweaters, boots, all kinds of stuff, and gave it to them. And they were very appreciative of it, getting those things. But what is that? They aren't going to pay me back. They don't have anything. I'm not doing this because I want, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. No. I'm happy to do it. I really do. I really love. And I think one of the spiritual gifts, you can have more than one spiritual gift. I'm really confident that one of the spiritual gifts God gave me was the gift of giving. It's kind of funny because I'm a pastor and I don't have anything. But he's given me the gift of giving. And I love to give. I love to give to all kinds of people. Even some of you, believe it or not. Love to give. And believers, unbelievers, God's given me that gift. But you don't have to have the gift of giving, by the way. This is impersonal love for all, as we're seeing it here. If you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, this will be reality. This will be you'll be thoughtful of others. You'll have grace in action. You'll have mercy, compassion on others. Impersonal love for others. So point four, the believer in cosmic death, living in his life in Satan's cosmic system, has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Five, therefore he shuts his heart to a fellow believer in need. Six, instead of impersonal love for his fellow believer, he has the mental attitude sin of hate for his fellow believer. Seven, and therefore he has no compassion for his fellow believer who is in need, destitute of food, clothing, material needs. And then it says, his heart, he has shut up, locked up his heart. And then we have the prepositional phrase, apa plus the genitive singular of autos. Apa plus the genitive means against him. Autos, him. The fellow believer who is in need of something. The destitute believer. The believer who needs food. The believer who needs clothing. The believer who needs material needs. He shuts up his heart against him. And this is often a very obnoxious believer or a repugnant fellow believer. So the corrected translation. But if anyone has the world's material possessions, food, clothing, wealth, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need of something, he's destitute, and he is shut up, locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no compassion for him. Then John concludes, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And this is the apodosis of our third class condition. This is the conclusion. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Well, what he's really saying, it's impossible for the love of God to reside in him. It doesn't. That's what it says. You don't get that from the King James, do you? Well, we'll wait till we get going here. This is the interrogative particle post plus the nominative singular of agape with the definite article plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article plus the present active indicative of mano plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of autos. The interrogative particle posts. Good catch. Yeah. Nobody's sitting in front of you, too. Yeah. Nothing to wipe off the back of their head. That's good. Posts. Now, you have the word how. Literally, it means how. Now, however, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 739, says that in rhetorical questions that call an assumption into question or rejects it altogether, then pos is to be correctly translated by no means, or it is impossible that. And that is the best translation. It is impossible that. Not how. It is impossible that. And then we have John's other favorite word, agape. Hey, agape. A-G-A-P, long E. Agape, this is virtue love. And we have hey, agape, virtue love, impersonal love for all. And the genitive case is the genitive source of theos, this virtue love from God, this impersonal love for all from God. And then we have, so here we have agape and meno combined together in this last phrase. Meno, his other favorite word in John. Meno. M-E-N long O. Meno, to abide, to reside, to remain. Present tense is a progressive present. The action is presented as actually being in progress, be residing. In the case of the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, it is impossible that this virtue love from God is residing in him. Why? Because he has no spiritual life. So, in the case of the believer in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, post, it is impossible that this virtue love from God is residing in him because he has no spiritual life. The active voice, it is impossible for the believer living in Satan's cosmic system to have the virtue love from God brought to completion in his heart. It's not abiding in him. The indicative mood is declarative. This is the dogmatic, absolute truth of God's word. The prepositional phrase "en" plus the dative of autos is in him. The dative case, dative of sphere, in the sphere of his heart. Virtue love has not been brought to completion in his heart. And that's the mandate of 1 John 2, verse 5. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's material possessions, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need of something, destitute, and he is shut up, locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no compassion on him, then it is impossible that the virtue love from God abides in him. Pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. But if anyone has the world material possession, food, clothing, wealth, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need of something, he's destitute, and he is shut up, locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no compassion on him, then it is impossible that the virtue love from God abides in him. One. Now we know how this believer received his prosperity, his wealth. He was living in Satan's cosmic system. Now we know how this believer received his prosperity or his wealth. He was living in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. 2, therefore his prosperity is from Satan. His prosperity is from Satan. Three, the problem is there is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. The problem is there is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. 4, there is no impersonal love for all in Satan's cosmic system. 5, this believer has prosperity and wealth, but he has no spiritual life. He has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has no impersonal love for all. This believer has prosperity and wealth, but he has no spiritual life. He has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has no impersonal love for all. 6, he has no impersonal love for a fellow believer in need, destitute. He has no impersonal love for a fellow believer who is in need, destitute. You know, there's another category of believers that don't have much, for the most part. Now, there's some exceptions. And that's the widows. And I've been here over 47 years, and I'll be real honest. The greatest believers that have been here were widows. And they didn't have anything. Not only did they not have anything, nobody wanted to do anything with them. They're widows. Now, you all have your mutual admiration society and people you like to go out and do things with and do this and go this and go to eat at a restaurant, go to a movie, do this. But the widows just sit home. Sit home in a little tiny, well, like living in the lounge back here that we did for 11 years. And I saw these ladies, and these ladies were winner believers. Oh, they didn't have very much. They had very, very little by way of material things. And nobody ever asked to take them out to dinner or to a movie or anything. So God put it on my heart, and Deb and I talked about it. I says, I want to take the widows of the church out to our favorite restaurants, the best restaurants. And we took them out, the widows, to get, they get whatever they wanted. And then, after we went to dinner, then we go to a movie. Of course, we had to get up close. Well, you can hear, you know, and everything. We go to a movie. So I took the widows to dinner, and then I take the widows to a movie, and then we come home, and we'd just tell jokes. Helen Ryder, one of the greatest joke tellers ever in this church. And they were funny, because they were dirty, that's why. The only ones that are funny. And she always had a passel of jokes to tell. And she was supposed to be blind. She kept telling me she was blind, but she would ride in the front seat, and we'd be sitting at a light, and the light would turn green, and she's sitting there. She turned to me, "It's not going to get any greener." I said, I thought you were blind. Well, the widows don't have a lot. And for you to think about the widows in the church and just be thoughtful. You have things, but when's the last time? But you know what, those widows? You talk about great prayer warriors. They're the greatest prayer warriors. They pray and pray. They pray all during the day. They pray at night. They are the great, great prayer warriors. I learned that when I'd go to Barack as often as I could. I had some friends that were at one time up in Bethany and Pullman, and they moved to Houston and Baraka, and one of the people I knew, his responsibility was to pick May Walker up. She was in a wheelchair. She had 11 terminal illnesses. She was in a wheelchair. His job was to go pick her up, bring her to Baraka, wheel her down in front of the pulpit, right in front of Bob, and then take her home after class. And they did that for years. And they had me stay for dinner, and they had May Walker there to have dinner with us. And I was introduced to May, and she goes, "Dick Olson, you're one of my boys." I said, "Ma'am, you're one of my boys. You're on the prayer list. I pray for you every single day." I said, "Well, no wonder things are going so great at Dallas Seminary. To have a prayer warrior like you praying for me every single day, I can't thank you enough." But now that opens my eyes to see all of the fantastic blessings while I've been going to seminary. She says, "You're one of my boys." And then she started talking. She says, "You know, there's a lot of people here in Barack, and listen to them talk about the colonel. They talk about Bob. He repeats too much. And that's exactly what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to." She sounds as tough as the colonel. "That's what he's supposed to do. I'm not teaching you so you can remember it. He's teaching us so we'll never forget it. And so he repeats it and repeats it and repeats it." Because she said, "A lot of these people, they could hear it 1,000 times and they still wouldn't get it." I said, "Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right." She was an amazing lady. And she said, "I'm still here because Bob needs me. I pray for him every day, as I pray for all you guys on the prayer list. He needs me." And she was you talk about a prayer warrior. When she started praying, demons got nailed to the wall all over the place. So what's the last point I gave you there?
Six, sir.
Six? Six, sir. Okay. Now seven, sir. Again, point six, he has no impersonal love for a fellow believer in need, destitute. Seven, he has material things, but he has no virtue love. He has material things, but he has no virtue love. Eight, he won't help the destitute believer because he is destitute of virtue love. He has no impersonal love for all. So he won't help the destitute believer because he is destitute of virtue love. He has no impersonal love for all. 9. It is better to be destitute of material wealth than to be destitute of virtue love. Far better to be destitute of material wealth than to be destitute of virtue love. Ten, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's why we're here. We are here to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're here to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart, personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God. 11, impersonal love for all cannot exist apart from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Impersonal love for all cannot exist apart from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. So 1 John 3:16 and 17 again. By this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us as a substitute for the entire human race. And that's as a substitute for the entire human race when we were at our worst. Spiritual death, totally depraved. And therefore, by way of application to the royal family of God, we ought to lay down our lives for our fellow believers. Verse 17. But if anyone has the world material possessions, food, clothing, wealth, prosperity, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need of something, is destitute, and he has shut up, locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no compassion for him, then it is impossible. It is impossible that this virtue love from God abide in him. All right. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.